Welcome to Chair Chat, an online web series hosted by me, Jamie Harrison, the chairman of the South Carolina Democratic Party. Our goal in this series is to begin to look at political leaders, activists, and people involved in politics in a three-dimensional manner. We will move past the political caricatures to get to know the individual. So now, let's chat. When it comes to interesting people running for the United States Senate, I don't think you will find a more interesting person than Pastor Thomas Dixon, a passionate advocate for social justice. He's had a very interesting background, and his background will help him be successful in his campaign for the United States Senate. So I want to welcome to Chair Chats, Pastor Thomas Dixon.
Yes, thank
welcome.
You, Jamie. Thank you, really appreciate it.
It's so good to see you on Chair Chats, Pastor Dixon.
It's good to be here.
So you're running for the United States Senate.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Well, you got a lot of buzz going on, particularly with our activists in the Democratic Party here in South Carolina, people who have known you because you're out there, you're on the streets. When we need to protest something, when we need to advocate for something, Thomas Dixon's always there.
Boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground. Boots on the ground. So here we have a pastor running for office, something that we don't really see that often. Why do you decide to run for the United States Senate this time?
Well, based on the moral aspect of it as a pastor, I have that grounding in right versus wrong, and the fact that we are our brother's keeper. No matter which way I look at it, we have an obligation to our society, to one another, to stand up on behalf of each other, and not to allow those who just happen to be in charge at a particular time to do anything and everything that they want to the people. We must be our brother's keeper. And right now, at this point in time, at this point in history, there's no better time for us to stand up and do what's right on behalf of the people.
And you're running against Tim Scott.
Yes.
An interesting candidate, the first African-American to represent South Carolina in the United States Senate since Reconstruction. Tell us why in particular you wanted to run against Tim Scott.
Many in the community feel that he has not represented the African-American community properly in the position that he has. It's obvious that he represents his party, the Republican Party, as opposed to the people who he's been elected to represent. His representation does not get down into the hearts, the minds, and the souls of the people who have actually put him in office, who he's been elected to represent. He's that party person instead of that people person. For myself, as far as being within the social justice realm for years, working with the people, working for the people, it's easy to see that in the position of U.S. Senate that Tim Scott is not that person that's going to do right by the people. And so I decided that although I'm not a lifelong politician, and I have no aspirations to be a lifelong politician, but the right thing to do on behalf of the people of this great state of South Carolina and the United States would be to stand up and to represent the voice of the people, an authentic voice of the people that will champion the social justice issues mm-hmm. that will better our society and better our people.
Well, we want to, in this series of Chair Chats, give the people, particularly Democrats here in South Carolina, an opportunity to really get to know who Thomas Dixon is. Where did you grow up?
Well, I come from Chicago. I'm originally from Chicago. I'm what they call in South Carolina, Cumya. I was not born here, so I'm not a Benya, but I'm a Cumya. My daughter was actually born in Charleston. But I come from the projects of Chicago, born and raised in the projects of Chicago. I spent over 30 years of my life there in that environment. Was a part of the lifestyle that dealt with alcohol and drugs, the abuse of which, and addictions. And I left there in 1983, 2 years after my son was born, in order to try to make a better way, because I realized at that time the road that I had chosen, the alcoholism and the drug abuse, there was really no way that I was going to be able to benefit him. He was 2 years old at that time.
Yeah.
And so I joined the military. and thinking that I was going to be able to move away and get away from the demons. But the demons followed me. They went everywhere I went, and they stayed with me. I got out. I did 6 years military, honorably Navy, U.S. Navy, honorably discharged, and I came back to Charleston. I decided I wasn't going back to Chicago to try to raise my son in that environment. I knew what was right there. So I stayed in the Charleston area, but I still carried those same demons. Those demons, I got out of the military in 1990, and the demons didn't leave me actually until 1999. I wound up incarcerated in South Carolina Department of Corrections, and I did 3 years there. But while I was at in the county detention center, I realized that that there was a much greater worth for my life, that I was actually placed on this earth in order to benefit the world and not myself. And my entire focus changed from me being me-centered to being other-centered.
And is that when you decided to go into the ministry? Is that when you decided to become a pastor?
Exactly, exactly. The revelation of God's word in my own heart brought a true and everlasting change in me. Wow. That same person that went into prison is not the same person that came out. Yeah. It's funny because as I got home, returned to my wife and my family after 3 years, my wife, she even remarked, I got to get to know who this guy is. You know, I don't know this guy. This is not the guy that I was married to before. And it took her a while to just realize. She said, yeah, I got me a new husband.
Yeah.
I had a brand new man, the one that I've been looking for. And now we've been married close to 34 years now, and together almost 40.
There's so many good people in South Carolina who are dealing with, you know, right now the big debate is about opioids and you know, and all of these different things in which people get addicted to, and partly it's to escape some of the frustrations that they're experiencing in life, from economic anxiety to other social issues. And so it seems then that you will be able to relate to those folks.
That's why it's so essential for me to take this position, because I do have the experience, the experiential knowledge of the various areas of addictions, of incarceration, of working for minimum wage, being released from a job because I work in a right-to-work state, an at-will state. I've been through all of these things. I know about being close to homelessness, you know, right next to it. Fortunately, I have a great wife, and still have a great wife. She stood in my corner. Those are the things that are going to, that have consistently kept me with my ear to the ground and the people with me, because they know that I've been there. I've got a number. I've been in the prison system. I understand the mass incarceration and the need for reform. I understand how an addict would want to end the oppression of addiction, but not have the power to do so, because I've been there. And because of that, I cannot be judgmental, I cannot look down, and I cannot overlook the plight of those that really do need the help, unlike others. I've been in the streets where gun violence has overwhelmed mothers, and I've held them in my arms, and I've cried with them. And I continue to do that as part of my mission, because that's where I started at, in the Stop the Violence. And until we decide as a nation that we are going to do something about that, then we're going to continue to shed innocent blood. And so these are the things that I'm passionate about. These are the things that I've consistently worked with and for over the last years. And I've never accepted money for what I do. That's not what it's about. I get up every day in order to help. And I thank God for a wife that is patient enough and really, really stands behind me in my mission because of the message that I bring of hope for the people.
I tell you, there's nothing like having a good partner in life in order to help that. Because I tell you, if without my wife, I wouldn't be able to do the things that I do. So
I know that's right. Yeah. I know that's right.
Tell me, you know, Charleston, you live in Charleston, and last year, Charleston went through so much. From the unfortunate the shooting of Walter Scott and him losing his life to the tragedy, the massacre at Emmanuel 9. How did that impact you, and was that any of the fuel that really said, I need to run for the United States Senate? Was that one of those moments that coupled those things together, actually helped push you to make this decision to run?
Yes, they definitely were. There were quite a few different factors that made me make the decision. When I was incarcerated in 1999, and I started praying 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, where it says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and then I'll hear from them and I will answer. So I started praying that, and I started to see things change over the last few years. I call this period that we're in right now a period of revelation, not revelations as in the book of Revelations, but a period of uncovering, whereas the injustices that have been perpetrated against the simple people of our society, those who have not had a voice in order to speak for themselves, those injustices have been uncovered so that the world can see them. And culminating in the Low Country last year with the Walter Scott shooting, by some strange chance of fate being caught vividly on video camera. And we believe that, actually we know that the story was being spent before the release of the video, that this was Walter Scott's fault why all of this happened, and the video was released and the truth was revealed. But then also the Mother Emanuel shooting that actually turned around and led to the removal of the Confederate flag, battle flag, from the State House grounds. It could not be denied in an era that says we were in a post-racial era, the racism that facilitated the death of 9 churchgoers cannot be denied. So all of those things, as I looked at the other incidences that were going on in the nation, the rise of video camera footage that showing the truth of racial bigotry and things of that sort, that I just felt that I cannot remain silent in the position that I've been blessed with, and that I have to step forward. I've been doing this work for a long time, and I've been telling people, I've been telling the police departments, you know, there's a problem. And they say, no, it's your imagination. You're being overly sensitive. So then after Walter Scott, I was able to come forward with a t-shirt that says, do you believe me now? Do you believe us now?
Wow.
And then after Mother Emanuel, I've been talking about the fact that this flag represents hatred, and many believe that, but those who, that small few who have the right to believe that it represents heritage, they had to begin to accept the fact that it also represents hatred. And now we see, because of that revelation, because of that uncovering, we start to see our nation moving in a different direction when it comes to racial equality, when it comes to the social justice, fair and equitable treatment of all Americans. We're moving in the right direction, but it's a slow process. It's like any seed that's been planted. It's been this ground of social injustice has been tilled and bearing fruit for a long time. So now we have to uproot the weed, replant the good seed, and wait on the harvest to be produced. The harvest is coming, and my running for U.S. Senate is a part of that harvest that's coming, because we are going to make this a better place for all.
You mentioned that Tim Scott, our current U.S. Senator, has been disappointing.
Yes.
Can you point to one thing that you want the people of South Carolina to know about their senator and why they should really take a look at an alternative in you?
I guess the most significant point I would like anybody to take away from as far as my opinion of Tim Scott would be in his staunch support of the Republican Party in their obstructionism of everything that our United States president has done for the last 7.5, 8 years. For every issue, he has stood with the party against President Barack Obama. Every issue without fail. Now, I've been around a little while, and there's a saying that says even a broke clock is right twice a day. But he stood with that party instead of doing the right thing. And anytime that we have an elected official that chooses to stand with the party over doing what's right, then that person doesn't have any business representing the people. The truth should always win out in a situation. So I can't trust him. And I'm going to tell you this straight out, and I will tell him the same thing. I can't trust him. If you side with the party over the truth and the truth that will affect people's lives, Medicaid, closing the background check loopholes. The list goes on and on when it comes to Tim Scott, of his standing against doing what's right for America and things that will save lives, simply because they were the things that our president stood for or the things that his party stood against. That's wrong, and I can't go with a person like that, whether he's in elected office or whether he's my next door neighbor, my church member. I'm gonna call him out.
Well, you know, Pastor Dixon, I know you spend 23 and a half hours of the day fighting for other people.
Yes, sir.
That 0.5 hours, do you do anything to just relax or do things for yourself? And if so, what do you like to do just to relax and be good to Thomas Dixon?
I got a granddaughter, and I got a grandson. I have a wife. I have two wonderful children. Both of them are married. Any additional time I have when I leave the community is spent, I spend as much time with them as possible, because that's my release mechanism. That's my second office behind my service to God, is my service to my family. And I delight in that service because, to be honest with you, the lifestyle that I led before coming to this point, I almost lost all of that. And so I cherish every moment that I get to spend with my family, to show my wife that I love her, to show my children that I love them, and to just love on those little ones that I got right now, they call grandkids. Life is good. So in spite of what I see, what I hear, what I experience, who I stand with in the community, I always have that place that I can go, that sanctuary I can go, and I can really, really just release, feel great. And that sanctuary is family.
Yeah.
It's family.
Well, Pastor Dixon, we are so fortunate to have you as our U.S. Senate candidate. And your life story is such an inspiration for so many of us. And so I want to thank you for putting your name out there and stepping forward and making the sacrifice, not only for yourself, but also for your family. And I want to thank you for fighting for so many people here in South
Carolina. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for being a part of Chair Chats.
Thank you. Really appreciate it, Jane.
Thank you. And thank you, because you're always welcome on Chair Chats. On the next Chair Chats,
what are the things that we share in common? How can we, what are the things that will work for the betterment of all? And see, that's what Joe Wilson hasn't done in all those terms in office. He hasn't even served the people that vote for him.